February 7th, 2012, It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show on a rainy Tuesday here in Pedro. We're not at the Love Grotto on Land's End. Brother Matt is slammed with lots of his schoolwork, both giving it and taking it. So, but I'm not man alone this time. I got guests. Well, first let me tell you what we play. We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Bags and Train. And then Rainy Day by Sawako. Yeah, it's a rainy day. Kind of dried up. Anyway, our guest here is Sailor Alexander.
That's right.
Hello. Sailor, you had to take the bus on this rainy day.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Pedro, how long did it take?
Hour and 45 minutes.
From where?
Downtown L.A.
Jeez, like 23 miles. These two cats came to interview me a few months ago, and we want to see L.A. by the train, man, and I gave him a ride back home because those guys, it took, wow. So you had to go to Long Beach on the Blue Line
the
bus?
I took the Silver Line. It takes the 110. And
oh,
then,
really?
Yeah, to the 550. It comes right to Pedro.
Because most people, they go to
Long
Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go that way, too.
Maybe that's what's longer.
Yeah.
Silver Line runs right down the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, SoCal needs more of that transpo.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I mean, it works just enough to work. You know, it's not like San Francisco or New York or any other major metropolitan city.
Where it's happening.
Right.
So if you come here, yeah, it's a car world.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not in car world.
Nope. I got a license suspended right now.
Oh, man, it's tough in SoCal.
Yeah.
Damn. How do you get your equipment around? The other guys in the band?
Yeah. I just get rides and, you know, got girlfriend. She has a car.
Side mouse.
Yeah.
You're the side mouse.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Just for now, temporary.
Yeah. But you're not from downtown LA.
No, I just moved there less than a year ago, but I'm originally from the South Bay.
Dondo?
Yep.
Yeah.
Redondo, Torrance. I've lived everywhere. La Mita. I lived in Pedro for a little bit.
Really? When?
When I was probably like 12.
Little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right over on off Gaffey.
For you people out there, Gaffey's our main street. It's the one like the freeway turns into.
Yeah.
It.
The main vein.
Like a hard port. It's the main vein. And so you were there for a little time?
Yep, there.
Well, let's start with your days of yore. How did you start out?
Me?
You were born.
I was born in Harbor City. And
right. You know who else was born in Harbor City?
Who?
Charlie, the singer of the Pixies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everybody thinks he's West Mass.
Right.
That's where he's living now. But he's originally from Harbor City.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah. So you're in good company.
Yeah.
Okay. When was that?
December 21st.
Wow. Day after me.
Yep.
Lots of times on the solstice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your first music ideas? Thoughts? Awareness?
Yeah. My dad played guitar. And when I was
So he was playing in the pad.
Well, yeah, exactly. And so when I was 13, he bought me my first guitar.
Oh, but you must have been hearing him play before you were 13.
Yeah. You know, he taught me a couple chords and stuff like that. Then I just took off with it.
So was he playing for fun?
Just for fun, yeah. He was.
So you'd hear him play? What about records and stuff? Did he play records?
Yeah, I got into Zeppelin first. I wanted to be Jimmy Page.
As a boy?
Yeah.
Real young?
I wanted to be Jimmy Page, yeah. And so, I got obsessed with that. I go through phases, you know.
Where did you hear about Led Zeppelin?
Oh, just, you know, they were on the radio, you know, KLOS and stuff like that. And I just got really into it. I really loved how it, you know, there wasn't the same thing over and over and over. You know, they had...
Oh, yeah, the classic rock station.
Yeah. And, that's really what it influenced me then from there. It's just...
Because 85, you must have been aware of punk.
Well, yeah. I didn't get into that till much later.
Until later.
Yeah.
So at first you're your pop, do you like rock and roll?
Oh yeah. He was playing all kinds of stuff.
He was playing the KLOS at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're hearing him play guitar, you're hearing this band, big band from England on the radio, and you want to do this.
Yeah.
And you were 13?
Yep.
When you made your choice?
Mm-hmm.
And he got you a guitar?
Yep.
Okay. What'd you do?
You
want to know how to do songs, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I just started writing, and I've never stopped.
Well,
he showed me a couple chords, you know, E and A, and, you know, kind of taught me about dynamics, you know, getting softer and quieter and the verses and choruses and stuff like that. But really, that's all he knew. So I took that, and then everything else I just...
What, you're like playing off the records, listening to records?
Yeah, I did a lot of that.
Learning the licks, mm-hmm. That's how me and D. Boone learned.
Yeah.
There was a guy who lived in his car who showed us some stuff, but a lot of it was playing off the records.
Yeah.
So... How long did you do that? Did you want to make a band?
No, I mean, I had...
You just want to play guitar.
Yep, just want to play guitar. I didn't really... None of my friends really played either. It was kind of rough. All my friends were into skating and, you know, getting high and all that. And so, you know, I was really just alone doing it.
No one wanted to do music?
Nah. Mm-mm.
Damn.
Yeah, it was weird.
And that's still in Harbor City?
Yeah, well, by then I moved to Torrance.
Torrance.
Yeah. I went to South High.
Right. Oh, wow. PCH.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far from here.
Yeah.
And shit, nobody said...
Yeah, you know, I was in...
You said Lameda. You know, the Alley Cats were from Lameda.
Oh, really? Yeah, I went to elementary school in Lameda. But, you know, I wasn't doing music then. And
nobody at South High.
You know, there were, but... you know, they were all into, a lot of the people I met, you know, they just played Metallica riffs, and that's it, you know, they had no other dimensions, you know, they had no other, you know, they could play a Metallica song perfect, but then when it came to...
because they were learning off the records,
yeah, but
too.
When it came to sort of, you know, creating new stuff, they, you know...
So by this time, because we jumped from 13 to high school, so you're writing songs.
Yeah.
Your own song.
Yeah.
And they're not into this.
Nah, man. I mean, you know, it's just...
So it's bleak.
Mm-hmm. Pretty bleak.
When did you start going to gigs?
Not until I was, like, 18.
High school, around this
time. Yeah.
End of high school?
Yeah, end of high school. 18, and even then, you know, I jammed with a couple people. I had moved to Lawndale after high school, and I had some neighbors, and... I would jam with them, but no one young, really. These were older guys, you know, and so they weren't really, you know, looking for bands or anything like that. But I learned a lot from them because they had been around and done, you know, stuff when they were younger, so they taught me things. But still, it was pretty much just writing stuff on my own.
Wow.
You know, developing.
You have a recorder? Were you recording this stuff?
Yeah, I had Cakewalk. Shitty, you know, PCs, this shitty Cakewalk, and I recorded tons of stuff on that, man.
And all man alone, yep. Like you're overdubbing on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You didn't bring any.
No, I guess.
You gotta flow me some.
All right, yeah.
This is your first stuff,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Damn. Yeah, it's old now, but yeah, it's interesting, and it's nothing like what I do now. You know, it's.
It's the beginning stuff,
mm-hmm.
But that's interesting. So your inspiration, these gigs, first gigs you went to,
mm-hmm.
What were they, like concerts or clubs?
Like concerts. The first big concert I ever went to was Santana, Hollywood Bowl.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that was my first one. I think I saw Aerosmith after that.
You hadn't gotten into the little club thing yet.
Mm-mm.
How'd you find out about that?
Really, I think it was once I joined my first band, which was Stab City.
Okay.
And, you know, we played places.
Yeah, that's because that's when I first saw you, was with Stab City.
Right.
How did that come about?
Craigslist. I was wanted to get into a band.
They were running an ad?
Running an ad. So I answered it, auditioned, and boom. Yeah.
And that's your first band?
Mm-hmm.
It's from a Craigslist ad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. And you still hadn't been to clubs yet?
Not really, no.
So you didn't know the scene you were getting
right
into.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a trip.
I'm pretty naive. I mean, you know, like I only have like a handful of really inspired influences. You know, the rest are, you know, just new things that are, you know, I hear other people, that other people like and that. But I've
You've been on a tear with the new stuff. You just recorded something, right? We were gonna play something here called Eli. What's it this about?
Eli. It's a song about it's a story. They actually made a movie out of it. They made a Denzel I don't know. It's a Denzel Washington movie, Eli. But it's aside from
You mean you took the song from a movie?
Yeah, well, from
did they hear you're doing to make a movie out of it?
No, no. I watched the movie and was inspired by the storyline. So I basically am just telling the story of the song. And takes place in the future, and it's has to do with
the movie's called Eli.
Mm-hmm. Has to do with preserving the Bible.
Preserving the Bible.
Yeah, like the world comes to an end, and there's only one Bible left, and so Eli's has it in his possession, and he's trying to get it out west where they can remanufacture the book. You know, because the rest of the world's just flattened, and so. He goes on this journey, and everyone's trying to get the book and all this stuff, and you don't realize it's the Bible until the end of the movie, giving it away, but and he's blind yeah. The entire time, and he's kicking ass and doing all this stuff, and you actually don't know he's blind until the end of the fucking movie. He's just wearing shades the whole time. It's pretty cool. I mean, you know, I normally don't write about fucking movies or Denzel Washington movies, but it just seemed to fit.
Good looking man.
For this song.
Have you ever, you know, there was a series of movies in the 60s in Japan called Zatoichi, and it was a blind guy like a few hundred years ago. You know all about this? So Denzel's blind. And that's what you find out at the end. It was the Bible and he was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it.
He made it.
He got the book, to the printer?
Yep, to the printer. Yeah.
Well, let's listen to something.
Well, actually, you know what? It was a Braille Bible. That's what it was.
Oh.
So he knew what it said, and so that's kind of what gave him the strength. You know, reading the Bible gave him the faith to you know, go on this, you know, 1,000-mile journey.
Then they were going to have to translate it.
Yeah.
Most people can't read Braille.
He had to translate it, yeah. And then the guy wrote it, and then they printed it and all
that
shit.
That's work.
That's how it worked, man. Okay. I mean, it's actually, it's yeah.
Well, let's listen to the tune that
all right.
was the result of your witness in this movie.
Yeah. jump in the ship.
Center of equal daughters, equal sons, all alike and good, grown, ungrown, young or old, strong, ample, fair, enduring, capable, rich, perennial with the earth, with freedom, law and love.
Look, he told me, all those little children dying in the trees. And I said, what? And he said, look. And I went to the window, and sure enough, here they were hanging in the trees, dead and dying. And I said, what does it mean? And he said, I don't know, it's authorized. The next day I got up and they had dogs in the trees, dead and hanging and dying. And I turned to my friend and I said, what does it mean? And he said, don't worry about it. It's a way of things. They took a vote. It was decided. And the next day it was cats. I don't see how they caught all those cats so fast and hung them in the trees, but they did. And after bacon and eggs the next day, my friend pulled his pistol on me across the coffee and said, let's go. And we went outside. And here were all these men and women in the trees, most of them dead or dying. And he got the rope ready, and I said, what does it mean? And he said, it's authorized, constitutional. It passed the majority. And he tied my hands behind my back, then opened the noose. I don't know who's going to hang me, he said, when I get done with you. I suppose when it finally works down, there'll be just one left, and he'll have to hang himself. Suppose he doesn't, I asked. He has to, he said. It's authorized. Oh, I said, well, let's get on with it.
We were very tired. We were very merry. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. It was bare and bright and smelled like a stable. But we looked into a fire. We leaned across a table. We lay on a hilltop underneath the moon. And the whistles kept blowing and the dawn came soon. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. And you ate an apple and I ate a pear. From a dozen of each we had bought somewhere. And the sky went wan and the wind came cold. And the sun rose dripping a bucket full of gold. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. We hailed, "Good morrow, mother," to a shawl-covered head and bought a morning paper, which neither of us read. And she wept, "God bless you for the apples and pears." And we gave her all our money but our subway fares.
This is something I wrote. Why am I doing these stupid introductions? This here is called. I'll read the beginning, the intro, so to speak, of a piece I wrote called "Some Local Burgers I've Recently Et." And at the top of the page is one of these epigraphs, or whatever you call it, one of these indent quotes. "Geography cracks me up." George Bernard Shaw. "Me too. In Pittsburgh, for instance, they're called Tobos, often with an E. That's T-O-B-O-E-S. Residents of Hartford, on the other hand, know them as Sarsaps, possibly short for sarsaparilla, that New England sody fountain treat. And what's a fountain without a grill? You want one in Houston, meanwhile, a town with a hefty Croatian-American populace, you'll call for a Zagreb and like it. In Akron, Ohioans sure are strange. They're fondly dubbed Wee Wallies. Can you imagine ordering chili cheese Wee Wally? I can't. Stranger still is Portland, home of the bun stuffer, where beef is but one kind of stuffing. And popular combinations include double beef, mixed beef and tuna, a triple, the bun stuffer deluxe, beef, herring, and sweet pea. At the outskirts of Denver reads a sign which says, "Welcome, try our famous ground bat blow sandwich, a treat." Asbury Park hosts the Cat Jack. These are all generic terms, by the way, hence the expression "cruising for Cat Jacks." Continuing the animal theme, we come to New York, New York, the fabled Big Apple, where they're known, quaintly enough, as hot dogs. Not to be outdone is Louise's health capital of the world, Racine, Wisconsin, where they're colorfully referred to as murdered mammal patties. In Boise, they're falfadalies, Muscle Shoals, corn on the cob. When in Cedar Rapids, East Cedar Rapids, ask for a Bordello. While yonder in West Cedar Rapids, be sure to smack down some fairy cakes a-go-go. And so on and on till we reach the safe, sunny harbor of our sacred shore, Los Angeles, L.A., home of the one and only hamburger. So named for our fair sister township. I think I wrote this during the 84 Olympics. So named for our fair sister township, Hamburg, Germany, and proud of it. Yes, as the man said, geography is surely a gas, a horizon broadener if ever there was one. But those of us who love L.A. for a living, and I'm sure you'll agree, firmly believe that what we call them is best, burgers for short. And our favorite beer, Burgermeister. Yes, indeed, it's a wonderful place and a wonderful time to be alive, to eat burgers and be happy as the livelong day. And yet, there are mockers, naysayers, killjoys, those that would claim, as if we do not know, that burgers are poison, they're cancer, they are pimples, phlegm, cholesterol, not to mention the dread constipation. But yet, you will eat them because they taste like meat. More to the point, would you rather die from one, burgers, or, God forbid, bike spokes straight through the neck? And then I go on and on, and I list, 20 or 30 burgers from this town that are probably all in the burger stands now defunct. So why read that? Actually, I did, and I did a Burgers and Eggs Part 2, where I don't have on hand the intro to that one, but the intro to that one, I talked about burger substitutes, like, what was it, the pigeon meat or something like that?
Want for Pedro Show? Yeah, that was Eli by Sassafras. Sassafras now, people, we kind of got ahead of ourselves in the story here, but that's the band that Sailor has right now, the band after Stab City. Stab City is the first time I saw him play. In fact, we shared the bill here at Harold's, I think,
that's
the
right.
First time I saw you guys play. Under the Budweiser sign. Or
yep, yep.
Budweiser sign was behind
yeah.
us. The dartboard.
Yep.
Short drive for
mm-hmm.
me. After Sassafras and Eli, we heard Tom Herman with Slam. Tom Herman was the guitar man for Pere Ubu,
yeah.
which is a band from Cleveland in the 70s that had big influence on me and D-Bone and George Hurley. We saw them play up in Hollywood, the Modern Dance album. It was like, wow, incredible band for us.
Cool.
Yeah, like, because all we knew was kind of what you started off with was arena rock and that radio, FM radio. And
right.
Didn't seem like there was a lot of possibilities. And when the punk thing came out, we found out bands like Pere Ubu. It was like, I mean, because music's music, so it doesn't matter where it's coming from. But for us, it was like something about empowering, like we could try our own.
Absolutely.
And then we heard some poets. You into poets?
Yeah.
I found, actually somebody found for me, Walt Whitman, his actual voice. I guess, what's that guy? Edison was had these cylinders, wax cylinders,
right.
and he was recording people. And that's why the quality there is kind of weird. But it's a poem he wrote, a little one called America. And you can hear his voice. I've been to his pad, the last pad he lived in Camden. Trippy cat. And then we heard a guy who's buried here in Pedro now, Charles Bukowski. His last 14 years was in this town.
Oh, wow.
And a poem of his called Law, him reading in San Francisco in 1973. And then a lady named Edna St. Vincent Millay back east with Ricardo. And finally, some local burgers I've recently ate by Richard Meltzer. Richard Meltzer, big hero of mine, T-Bone. In fact, it just came out with a record called Spielgusher, and I had to collaborate with Richard.
Oh.
Yeah, he gave me 40 poems, and a couple from Tokyo, Shinima Shuko, went and did music with me for 3 days to come up with these stuff behind his poems, and it came out about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
My Clench Ranch label. And yeah, Richard's incredible cat. He lives in Portland now, but he was a big influence on us. We were actually, some of these poems that are on this Spielgusher album were ones that we were going to collaborate as Minuteman with him.
Oh, okay.
I think he wanted to do saxophone too. So all these years later, it kind of gets realized with this album.
Wow, that's great. That
Stab C. So what's it like? These are your first shows that you're playing
mm-hmm.
when you join that band. How long did you practice with them?
I was in that band.
No, I mean before you started playing.
How long did we practice?
You did, yeah, right. You join you get the Craigslist ad. You call them up. You do the audition,
mm-hmm.
and then, right. You still haven't done gigs up to this point,
right? Right. It happened really quick because they were already playing shows.
They already had gigs.
Yeah, they actually had another guitarist, and so the first show they had a guitarist, but he was leaving the band, so he went up and he played the first couple songs, stopped.
And you came on.
Mm-hmm.
And how long had you practiced with them? A couple weeks?
Yeah, not if that.
A week?
Probably.
You learned all their tunes?
Probably something like that.
Did they give you a tape?
Yeah, they had some demos recorded online. And so before I met them, you know, I
Oh, you even learned them before you met them for the audition.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Were you scared?
No, it was exciting. It was really exciting because, you know, I had never done anything like that, you know, and they were already, they'd already been playing for, I think, almost a year, and so it was already happening.
For them,
yeah. It was really exciting. I made a little nerve-wracking, I guess, but...
Yeah. So, like, did you cough the night before? Was it all... The guy's wide open. When we gonna clam? Or
not too much pressure.
When you played with us at the Heralds there, how long had that been?
Probably around 6 months.
So you'd been in the band 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, my opinion, man, it didn't look like you'd only been playing gigs for 6 months.
No,
no, you had fucking pretty together. I thought.
Thanks, yeah.
Not just playing the guitar, but working a gig, you know? Wow. Only 6 months.
Maybe three. I don't really know, but it was...
Four and a half
in
between?
Yeah. It wasn't that long.
Damn. That's wild. That really is wild. And so did you go to record with them?
Yeah, we ended up recording an album... I think a 12 or 13 song album after I was in the band for about a year. We did that.
Where'd you record here at SoCal?
Yeah, we recorded it in over in by Highland Park at the Laundry Room Studios. A guy, Ulysses.
Ulysses.
Yeah.
That's a name. Up to that point, the only recording you've done is at home, your own stuff. Wow. So it came really quick.
Mm-hmm.
For you.
Yeah.
And then?
And then... I was only in the band for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, something like that. And didn't work out. I left, and I ended up moving to Ventura with my girlfriend. Or actually a little city called Santa Paula right outside of Ventura. It's a farm town. And
not a lot of gigs.
Oh, there ain't shit up there. There's nothing. Literally, when we walk outside of our house, there's cornfields. And, I mean, there's just a freeway that runs through the city.
You hear that, people? People have weird ideas of California. They don't know that actually we're a farm state.
Yeah.
But if you drive from... SoCal to San Francisco.
Yeah,
a
little up north.
You can see the whole, in the Central Valley, San Joaquin Valley, coastal Central Valley. And I mean, we have lots of farm. Orange County used to be all farm. Yeah. You know, there's houses coming and coming, but still we're a huge farm state.
Yeah.
So there was nothing.
Nothing. And so for 9 months, I went from being in a band to nothing, and I lost touch with a lot of people because everyone I knew was in LA, you know, all that whole scene and everything. And so kind of disappeared for 9 months, and that's when I sat down and started writing all this Sassafras.
The Sassafras.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And even then, it wasn't to start a band. It was just for my own, you know, my own well-being because I wasn't jamming with anyone, and I was in a new territory, a, you know, unfamiliar place, but I had, you know, computer and my guitars and stuff. So I just started writing. And
that's important.
Yeah.
You were self-motivated.
Yeah.
Let's play some Angry Samoans.
All right.
Under a rock. my reaction. Am I on a path? A body likes to be near the bone. Oh, Nancy, Leslie, Jack and John. I die when I'm alone. Shake your booty when your back is bent. Put your feelings where my mouth just went. As serious as things do seem, at least you've put me on the team. And friends do rule supreme. Okay. Oh, I don't you mean
Betweeners
with a capital C.
Betweeners.
And who would have thought
Betweeners
with a capital note.
Betweeners.
In between the lines.
Pedro Show. You just heard Ian Dury and the Blockheads with In Betweenies. Yeah, I think he passed away, a guy from the old English punk scene. Before that, Mouth of the Snake by Bolivar and Bratty Frats, something live from Splotch ahead of that, and started off with They Saved Hitler's Cock by the Angry Samoans, which has Greg Turner on the guitar there. Unlike the current versions, and Greg Turner's getting up stuff for a new album. So I think it's a Kickstarter thing. So go to Kickstarter.com, look up Greg Turner, two G's at the end. So G-R-E-G-G. Mm-hmm. So check that out. We're at the end of the first hour of February 7, 2012, Wapps Beatles Show. Hold tight for hour two. February 7th, 2012, it's the second hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Swimming in circles, tracing an elaborate contemplative morning, like waking with the eyepieces of a microscope, term warfare and the fish egg legacy, sawing the heads from parking meters. Eraser for supercilious love, safely transporting its skin of clay to the clearing where we shall shave ourselves free of stubborn gravity. A special left-wing stress and acquiescence while walking you as you are bringing the weight of space. The wrong floor stepping around the vehicle is going to be voice and watch the show, simple harmony grows. The wall becomes smoke for eyes. How I have seasons playing the frozen diaries and changes. Wind to off with the sun. Friendly bliss states bottles of beer torn in town and as antiquated as the beer. Infants sipping insects and simple patterns, feline confusion. Hearts and cool warm glasses rushing to a wall of water. A syringe like spot perceiving broken lips and diseases with bathed winter warning. Improvised mask of yellow vines. The embalmed body holding silken seashells. Rock gently on lightning, literature so deprived, topping the great red stocking, a jewel on its side, a yellow jacket burning on its mark. Inch upstairs to the probability of red room, negative frigidity, and its simplistic uses, while enumerating the rocks that still run in the fluorescent sky on the other hand promises blinking materials of my world. Your host is me, I think around you, rolling solids, here with flowers for the unborn test tube. An orange sympathetic angle. Suffocated by hands, the sun turns to the moon and gasps.
Stories like we love the gods,
thrown as tables of ordinary flies, futile signs of time.
Stories
pressing black holes
in
our buttons, and
eyes
like
architects
of
imaginary
words. Stories like we love the gods, festering like architects of imaginary words. Stories like the lungs of gods, festering by appetites of imaginary words.
You wake in a fearful voice,
numbs
like
the thin
soup of malnourished blood,
festering by
perspiring
of imaginary
words. An earshot of thin owls, like a closet turning waves
off.
All girdled
bellies,
crushed crystal bells above the custodians of
soft
towers, locking eyelids with paranoid insects,
like
majestic
claws.
Carving friend, blank spots and rattles and minerals of flame were given and not forsaken. The silver candle set softly to run. The decomposed face of jack-o'-lanterns upon roads like the undulations of the summer dress. Corduroy crossing and little bonfires mark the premeditations of electric Indian givers.
Ready for
the angles of human behavior down the sunken lit path, falling outside and forcing crumbs floods of ordinary control, a riverbed cutting through the ancient oak passivity. Rest my eyes in silence. This elusive paper, to you, safety, and rhythm. Rest my eyes be tired, glistening fire patch. Threat memories of standing lights, like lands stretched out for blue and kingdom. Beauty conjured in secretive chemical dances sparkles in cold peace beyond the magic of the suggesting fire and crushed patterns of diamonds into you in the delivery of words coded in coronary sorrow. Held within your eyes, the burrowing dog song formed in letter and picture. Honesty's dripping with mandolins and barbed wire. The drowned eyes defying the interrogation of guilt. Septic scream. Only a bruise. An inch of despair. Hiding her seams with a prudent smile. And verifying our involuntary dissemination. Apart from an elaborate contemplative mourning. Song 6 evaporates during the Greek symphony of elderly underwater lesions. Like a miniature noose, a letter between floors, a ligament crackling across a lonesome Russian projector. A straining anger increasing the bleeding grave. Now pleasant fire, washed masks, wrecked in sunshine, spare legs like a caterpillar. The obvious lengthy fuse of a paper dragon raised to good breathing by a single steady monarch flow. Masks of shards of ancient mirror, solely functional in lonely climates, the drugged city is somewhat of semi-term screws. My fear is that we've surpassed preparation. The admirable rat and demon stencils, like pigeon-toed plastic gods, a rainfall's catch of new seasons across painted space and the open dominance of an androgynous statue. Imagining the sky.
Day 2.
Thank you.
I dream too much. But if I dream too much, I only dream to touch your heart, to touch your heart again. I close my eyes and see your hand, your smile, your joy in loving me. We dance and sing. We still a touch of spring. I dream of everything, everything, everything we two have known. And yet my dreams have shown me that. Perhaps I dream too much alone, too much alone. We dance and sing. We still a touch of spring. I dream of everything. I dream of everything. I dream of everything we two have known. And yet my dreams have shown me that. Perhaps I dream too much alone.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Human Wing by Swenson Clane. And then I Dream Too Much by Sun Ra. You ever hear of Sun Ra?
I don't think I have.
He's a wild cat. He's from Alabama. I think Sonny Blount was his real name. Okay. But he made some incredible music, and it's worth checking out. Yeah. He's putting out his own records. They all lived in some house. Well, one of the pads was in Philadelphia. Kind of early DIY guy.
Okay.
You know, way back, 50s.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, 60s. And some of those cats are still from his band. He passed away, but are still playing. Like Marshall Allen, this guy in his 80s.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, touring around and big inspiration. So, Sassafras, how'd you get it together?
Well, I had written and recorded like 20 songs. And I just started putting them up online, and people dug them, and a couple people that I knew from the scene wanted to start, like, being a band with me, playing these songs, and so got a couple guys, and...
You'd moved back by then?
Or you still no. In Ventura? Yeah, still up there, and so I was driving...
Hell rides?
Mm-hmm. For practices, you know, 2, 3, 4 days a week, practices back and forth, and then every weekend for shows, and I got exhausted real quick. So that's why I ended up moving to downtown, because we're just too busy.
You're spending a lot of time on the road.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
Did you ever tour with Stab City?
We did. Yeah, we did some small runs up north, and we went to Texas and back, and that was it.
Okay, not past the Midwest.
Mm-mm.
Some West Coast.
Yeah.
You got plans?
Yeah, we want a tour. We just got a new drummer, Anthony Cinetti. He's from Pittsburgh. And
that's where Ed from Ohio's living.
Yeah, and he's we're ready. We want to get on the road, man. Because we've been exhausting the LA circuit for a while now.
Wearing it out.
People are tired of us here, man.
You ever heard of the Mentors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's play some.
All right.
My mind is the passion behind it. I say, you know,
Pedro show. We just heard Bird Watching by the High Seas. Before that was Colliston Fair by the D-Side Tinkers. And ahead of that we had Hail Sister Bottle by the Bugs. I think Richard Meltzer wrote liner notes for their album. Everything's connected to Richard.
Right.
And started off with the Mentors doing Constantly Jacking, which is, I guess, kind of an inspirational ode. Thinking of you and constantly jacking. He was a trippy cat. He was a trippy cat. He is missed. Yeah, you want to get it on the road.
Absolutely.
And, touring.
Yeah.
I remember first starting tours. Yeah, there is a lot of places to play in SoCal, but you can wear it out.
Yep.
It's probably a harder town than others to wear out, but
yeah,
it can get done.
Yeah.
And we just played with you at Redwood downtown.
That's right.
Was that far from you?
No, that's walking distance from my place. Yeah.
Or stumbling dance distance, yep, like we like San Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a trippy gig. It's a good one. You guys were great. I think that's the first time I've seen your new drummer, Anthony.
Yeah, that was his second show with us.
Wow. How'd you find him? Craigslist?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. You know, in the old days, there was this thing called the Recycler.
Right.
You remember this?
Yeah.
It's something you bought in 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
I went and answered that ad. At first, D-Boom wouldn't make a punk band with me.
Right.
Yeah, we went to the gig, and I said to him, man, we can do this. He was like, well, I don't know, at first. And so I answered an ad, and it was on Santa Monica Boulevard. It was this guy's the drummer man's Pop's Electric Shop. I remember us jamming, I Want to Be Your Dog, for like 3 or 4 hours. And I never went, when I came back home and I told D. Boone about it, he said, okay, we'll make a band.
Yeah.
And Reactionaries came out of that with Georgie and Martin. But I did one time answer, and I was scared.
Yeah.
I was so scared. They were nice people. There's a lot of things from that trip that happened to me. Yeah. This was in 77 or something. And kind of trippy scene on Santa Monica Boulevard in those days. I didn't know it was up. Yeah, all these guys were hitchhiking, right? And, you know, and I blew past the address, so I circled back around, you know, and these guys run up to the VW, and nobody says anything. They're just standing there. Hi. You know, so I asked the guy, I think his name was Chris, a long time ago. But anyway, I said, man, where are all these guys going, man? Why don't they charter a bus? He goes, they're whores. They go anywhere you want them to. I was like, oh, man. Such Mormon.
Thank you.
Spot for Pedro Show. Started off with that chunk doing Marshlight Bulb by Iguanodon. After that, we had The War Song by our very own Sassafras. So Alexander here. What was that tune about?
The War Song, it's kind of a fuck you song. You know, personal battles with
other persons.
Pretty much.
Okay. And then we had hits from The Littlest Viking. Are they from Long Beach? I think so. And finally from Italy, Neil, with this incredible guitarist named Manlio. You gotta check this guy out. I've done gigs with him. The song's called The Sindroma di Roda. And Manlio don't use a fucking strap.
Oh, really?
Sometimes he'll have a chair, so he'll put one leg up, you know, and have it there. He just carries it up. Oh. This guy can play like a motherfucker.
That's cool.
But, yeah, no strap.
Wow.
It's like, fuck that. Don't need that.
Yeah.
Slings it up there in his arm. He gets it up by his chin or has it down here. Right. Like, but no strap.
Wow.
Put his leg up on the chair and have it play like
that. Right.
He's got a couple trios. One of them's Neo, one of them's Squartet. He's just an amazing guitarist. What's it called? Math rock.
Math rock.
Some people call it, because there's a lot of notes.
Right.
It's that little Vikings like that. And it's trippy how punk is gone. They used to call that prog infusion.
Right.
But in a way, it ain't. Maybe it is like it in some ways. I don't know. The whole idea of labels. And genres and all this is like we were talking off air. The first Sassafras I got from you was keyboard,
yeah,
stuff. It wasn't God, especially this gig I just saw Friday. You guys doing kind of the power trio thing?
Yeah. Just three piece.
Yeah, but like rocking it out. I mean, not like this first Sassafras.
Right.
I've played it on the show.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour. Watt for Pedro Show, February 7, 2012. Hang tight with our guest, Simon Alexander. Hour 3. February 7, 2012. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Aileron, the Heavy Rocks 2 version from Boris. And then Pretty Pictures Now by Proton Layer, which is Roger Miller. Band he had when he was younger, I think, with his brother. He Mission in Burma?
Yeah,
Boston band?
Yeah.
But Stooges, Ann Arbor at the time, I think he grew up as a boy. And also Destroy All Monsters, which had Mike Kelly. And very sad, Mike Kelly passed away last week.
Yeah.
You know about this movie, Sir Drone?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Raymond Pettibone in 1989 made a movie called Sir Drone. And I should give you a copy. It's about a band making a punk band in the old days, and it's me and Mike Kelly, and a young guy named Richie. God, what was the name of his band? Acetone or something. He was in a band too. He passed away also a few years ago. Mike Kelly, very happening cat. So it's a big loss. Richie too was a very sweet guy. When people leave, it's difficult for a lot sometimes, man.
Yeah, man. Fuck.
But anyway, play with Destroy All Monsters. I think Thurston put out a box set of their stuff they did with him and the band. Later on, Ron Ashton played in Destroy All Monsters, with Niagara.
Oh, okay.
It's a trippy legacy of that man. Sassafras. This new album?
Yeah, we got two.
What, they came out at the same time, or one was before
they recorded them at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much, and then just released them separately.
Because I've played a lot from this first one, but the
second one's called Dose.
Ah. Eli is from Dose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't played anything from here yet. Well, I just got it. Old Man, I gotta play that one.
It's a lot heavier, I think.
Heavier than this first one?
Yeah.
Same people? Both?
Well, that's just, those are, that's just me.
All you on
everything.
Okay. Wow.
That's before I had a band.
Before Jodeen, before Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
When did Jodeen come?
He's been playing for about a year now.
Yeah. Good bass man. I know him from, we were talking earlier, but from Crawl Space.
Yeah.
Great cat, great bass player. He sounded really good with you guys Friday.
Yeah, we enjoy him a lot.
He got a wheel for that bass cat.
Yeah, he said he recommended it.
I mean, he was three-wheeling that thing for a long bucket.
Right.
And also bigger wheels.
Right.
Them little toy fuckers that they come with.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Man, that's a noise.
Yeah.
Truck coming through the alley. But with the Stab City, he had a trio.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different. Well, for one reason, it's your band, and you're not joined. That's it, though. You've only had these two bands. Amazing. You must prack a lot, because you can fucking sure play.
I'm constantly...
You know who was in the prack was... John Coltrane.
Hmm.
Yeah, he'd prack after gigs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got to read the Miles autobiography. He's talking about them getting done and, you know, chasing women and drogas and shit. And he's up pracking.
Wow. Yeah, I do that too. I mean, it's constantly... I mean, I don't know if so much practicing, but writing...
Right. Well, writing's a kind of a prack for sure.
Yeah.
It's practicing the writing
tool,
whatever that is, device.
Mm-hmm.
This thing about recording at home, though, and just recording, they're not really demos, huh? They're the real deal.
Well, essentially they are demos, and I would really like to someday soon get into a studio and redo everything proper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just there. You know, I
it's a means to an end.
Yeah, I fashion them as the full on albums, but it's just because of time and stuff, and we're busy playing shows and all that, and we haven't had time to get into the studio. But eventually, I had to lock down members too, you know, because we had a drummer before. He was from Japan, and he's going back to Japan, so we can't necessarily record with him. But, you know, now that we got...
You mean the next Sassafras album won't be Sailor Love?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
But for the gigs, they learned off these two.
Exactly.
Okay. That's music.
Thank you. do a little creative wig bubble for you called God's Own Drunk.
So they, just like I said before, I'm a non-drinking man. Never drank for some reason or other, didn't like it. But like I said, too, I promise you take care of my brother-in-law still while he went in to vote. Went up there, and it was just where the map said it was. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no little old 5 or 10 cents steel. It was laid there just like a golden mountain opal. With a kind of a honeydew cry coming from it. I ain't a drinking man, like I explained to you, but that big old yellow moon was hanging out there. God's lanterns was hanging in the sky. And that curiosity got the best of me. And it took a slash. And I got a crazy revolutionary feeling in my body. That yellow whiskey went down my throat like honeydew vine water. Tasted mighty good. I felt a revolution going through my body like there was a great neon sign going up and saying there's a great life a-coming. Feel it talking to me. And I took another slash. And I got another jolt. And I took another slash. And I started to sing. I started to sing in that big old yellow moon a-hanging out there in God's sweet lanterns a-hanging in the sky. And as I sing, never could sing it no before in my life, but I was singing as fine and as pretty as you'd ever want to hear. And I took another slash. And then I took a big fall, that big old yellow moon hanging out there. God's lanterns in, hanging in the sky. And suddenly I got a tremendous revolution of emotion in my body. Like I was falling in love with everything. God's sweet world, it moved. Lived, didn't live, animate, inanimate, black, blue, green, pink, mouth, stones. I was in love with life, cause I was drunk. I wasn't falling down, slipping, sliding, drunk. I was God's own drunk. A fearless man. And that's when I first saw the bear. Big old Kodiak looking fella, about 16 foot tall. I walked right on up to that bear because I was God's own drunk and I loved everything in this world. Walked right up tight to him about 4.5 feet and looked right up in his eyes. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, my eyes was redder than his was. Hung him up. And he's a-sniffing. He's a-sniffing. He's trying to smell some fear. He can't do it because I'm God's own drunk and I'm a fearless man. He expects me to do 2 things, flip or fly. I don't do either. Hangs him up. I told him, I said, Mr. Bear, I'm God's own drunk, and I love every hair on your 27-acre body. I'm a fearless man. I said, I want you to go around. I know you got bear friends over the hill there. Harry Bear and Tim Bear and Jelly Bear and Tony Bear and Teddy Bear, Phil Bear, Hazel Bear, John Bear, Pete Bear, and Rare Bear. Go over and tell all of them that I'm God's own drunk tonight. And I love everything in God's green creation. And I love them like brothers. But if they give me any trouble, I'm going to run every goddamn one of them off the hill. I moved up. Don't you know he moved back 2 feet? I reached up and took the bear by the hand. I said, Mr. Bear, we're both beasts when it comes right down to it. He's a-looking down at me. I said, I want you to come with me. You're going to be my buddy. Buddy Bear. Take him right by his big old shaggy island-sized hand and let him on over, sat him down by the still while he's sniffing.
He's sniffing. He knows there's honeydew around there. Some kind of honey bear honeydew of some kind. He's a sniffing. I know what he's a sniffing. I took a slash of human sap to taste around, and I filled him a bottle. Did you ever see them bears? The silhouette of them bears at the circus sucking up that sarsaparilla. That'd be a fine looking sight. And he downed another bottle. And he downed another bottle. And I put two more on him. And put his stool and he started sniffing snort. Tapped his foot. He got up and started to do the bear dance. Two sniffs, three snorts, a half a turn, and one grunt. And I was trying to do it. But I couldn't do it because it was just like a jitterbug dance. It was so simple it evaded me. But we was a-dancing and yelling on it. And God's sweet moon hanging in the sky. And God's sweet landings out there. And there's jubilation and love on that here. And finally it piled up. And up and up and got so strong it overwhelmed my soul. And I laid back in the sweet green hill. With that big old buddy bear's paw right in mine. And I went to sleep. And I slept for 4 hours and dreamt me some tremulous dreams. And when I woke up, that old yellow moon was hanging in the sky. And God's sweet lanterns is out there. And my buddy the bear was a-missing. Anyone know something else, brothers and sisters? So was the still.
My child. Oh,
Spot for Pedro show. We just heard Rip Yourself Open, So Sew Yourself Shut by Patsy Mine. And then before that was My Child Is Eating Starchy Paste by John Truby and the Ugly Janitors of America. You know about him?
Uh-uh.
He got notoriety years ago. There's like these companies in Nashville and shit. If you send them words, they'll make a record. They'll record, get a band, a singer, everything, and make a thing, song out of your words and send it back.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, you know, how far will these cats go, you know? So he sent him these words, blind man's dick or penis or some shit like this. And the guy got together some kind of like country swing band and like sang his lyrics and all this shit. So he got notoriety for that. Now he's doing kind of opera stuff. Before that, we had God's Own Drunk, something live from Lord Buckley. Lord Buckley was a cat. Are you familiar with him?
Mm-mm.
He's an older dude who kind of talked in scat. Hey, you cats. Kind of hip dog like. Yeah. I heard he used to just hang around his pad naked and smoke mota. And we start off with Jimmy Had Jane by Position Normal. So, When you're watching a band and stuff, what do you look for? What do you like about a band? What?
Oh, gosh.
What strikes you? Because, you know, since joining Stab City and making your sassafras, you've been to a lot of clubs. You've been worked a lot of clubs.
Yeah.
So what makes bands stick out to you?
The bands that stick out to me are the ones that, just have some fucking soul within them, you know, either together or individual players, because I've played with a lot of bands, and
yeah,
it's rough, you know, to see, you know, I don't know, not necessarily guys who don't give a shit, because there's something in that too, but, I don't know.
It's same old, same old.
Yeah.
I mean, you were talking about Jimmy Page earlier. He was an early inspiration.
Yeah.
You ever get to see him play live?
No.
No. So it was kind of imagined.
Yeah.
Now you're in the situation where you're, you know, they're like your peers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
It's a little different, huh?
Yeah.
But you're still inspired by musicians.
Yeah, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
So you hadn't got jaded.
Right.
No, I talk about this because some people, man, the experience of them being young and inspired, and then they get into the place where they're with other music scene, and it's like bums them out.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it can at times, I guess. It just depends on, you know, who you're playing with and what, you know, what kind of energy is coming out of it, because sometimes,
not all bands are the same.
Yeah, you know, some can bring you down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some really inspire.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then you say it's a soul thing.
Yeah, it's really what, you know, what stands out the most to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Your drummer went back to Japan.
Yeah, he's going
back. That's why Anthony's in the band.
Yeah, he's going back.
And Anthony, did he move out from Pittsburgh?
He did. Yeah.
Did Balls Out Craigslist move?
Well, no, he was here before.
Lee did something like that. The guy I play with in the Black Gang, he's just from Lambertville, New Jersey. Just I'm coming to California. He joined Clawhammer.
Oh, wow.
Actually, Crawl Space, I think, first. He was playing with Joe.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Small world, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Here, I'm a coward, just ever since Virginia stayed in my Pedro job. That's very lucky. Anyway, we got some music here from Japan. Please.
again tomorrow
for Pedro show. Last music for this edition, stuff from Japan, a band called Catch started out there with Wild at Heart, then Girl from Kitchen by Cheap Audio, and finally Song for a Lover Who Caught a Cold by Hamk. I was just telling Sailor about their scene over there. The underground scene is a lot of it's pay to play. So if you want to, you know, be in a band, you want to do music, independent, you got to really have the fire in you. And not just go through the motions. I mean, the scene is still coming up, you know. And it's a trip. Where here we got a lot of opportunity. It's kind of easy to make a band, kind of easy to record. And so maybe that's why we see some of this, what you were talking about, the spirit's a little lacking.
Yeah.
Probably got that there too. All humans probably prone to this, but I'm inspired, maybe like you are, into people who are fired up and want to go for it.
Yeah.
And I remember that gig we did at Harold's, the first one together. That's what I really liked about what you had going. You know, he's bitching. You had the fire, you had your style. It's interesting, it comes out of Jimmy Page. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
You know, for an old rock and roller, I would have guessed maybe Pete Townsend.
Okay.
But whatever cool. It is, it still was your own. To find that out now, that's another thing. But that's why I like to do these spiels. I can find things out. But I really dig your take on music as a personal vehicle for expression. Oh. And I really... wish you luck in taking this out and then recording with your new guys. And just amazing. And how it's come so fast. But I know you've had to work at it.
Oh, yeah.
Like a motherfucker, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've shared a bunch of bills.
Yeah.
And every time, man. And the cats I've been playing with, too, my missing man or my second man. Wow. We're getting to play with Sailor again. We get to share the stage with Sailor. And it's, you know, it's a fucking happening thing.
Yeah, we feel the same, man. We're always excited to share a bill with you guys. And love Raul and Tom and your second man. It's fucking great.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, the second man, Pete and Jer, we played together in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Getting that big fucking organ up on that stage.
Yeah.
Is there still gigs there?
Yeah, Old Town Pub.
That's it.
We just played there.
They still got that Econo PA?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like one of the speakers is behind the bar.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a righteous thing, and I really love what you're doing. For me, it's very inspiring too, even though I've been around a little bit. I just love what you bring, man. And it shows you that stuff, timing and all this is just circumstances, where we are in the moment. And you're definite proof for that.
Well, thanks. And
hero to me.
You.
truly. So I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And when you get this new music with your guys recorded, come back on. I'm going to play.
Cool.
Plus, I want to hear some of this stuff with the cakewalk when you were a boy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, or flow it ahead of time.
Definitely.
Okay, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's been the February 7th, 2012 Watt edition of the Watt from Pedro Show. People, keep your powder dry.